Sherlock Holmes and I had now twice been the target for assassination attempts, and all thoughts of Oxford and my weekly interrogation over a chess game with Miss Dunleavy had vanished from my mind. Someone was seriously trying to kill us. But who? It was as I washed my face in the park cloakroom after examining the burned-out carriage that the pieces began to fall into place.
Miss Russell, what are you buying?
Some traces of mud and a blonde hair. This is not yet thought through, but... Holmes, could the man we're looking for be a woman?
We present The Beekeeper's Apprentice by Laurie King. Adapted into 4 episodes by Sean Prendergast. With Monica Dolan as Mary Russell, Sean Thomas as Dunleavy, and James Fox as Sherlock Holmes. Episode 4, A Battle Royal.
Russell, you have struck the very question upon which I propose to meditate with my pipe. You have also saved me from the worst sin a detective can commit, overlooking the obvious. Show me what you have found.
A trace of light brown mud on the taps, and a blonde hair.
I heard there's been a development.
Lestrade, wait in the doorway. I don't want you muddying the footprints. Now, let us see. Boots again. The small boots, square heels, not new. Mm-hmm. And she went here. Here she stood. Ah, another blonde hair. Yes, it's too long for a man in this day, I think, and quite straight.
Mud on her hands. Traces in the sink, yes. And the tap.
Another light over here, Lestrade. More light in here.
As you say, Mr. Holmes. Fowler! Lanterns in here, quick!
Yes, as I thought. Right-handed. Washed, shook the water from her hands, or rather, her gloves. No fingerprints. Into the door. Off the footprints, man. Heaven help us. To the street, then. And no, not to the street. Back on the path. Here it is. And here, and into the convenience reserved for the ladies. But that makes no sense. Unless she's toying with us, Russell. She wants us to know she's a woman.
Food here, Holmes. A chessboard. Surely we have too much to do.
I have finished at the laboratory, and until we receive the photographs of the cab, we can do nothing more. But chess, my dear Russell. Chess will at least help us to think of tactics.
Very well. I've always loved chess. My mother taught me as she told me Bible stories. Perhaps I should tell you one.
Choose a hand. You get black. I play first. And you know very well I have no time for Bible stories.
Perhaps there is one story you might see a use for, Holmes. Remember Judith and Holofernes?
Your move.
Holofernes was the commander of an army sent to punish Jerusalem, so he laid siege to it. Judith put on her richest clothes. He invited her to his tent. She got him drunk. He passed out. And she cut off his head.
A stimulating tale, Russell, though hardly one that I should choose for a 7-year-old. And before you elucidate, I see your plan. You want to draw fire. I do not believe you would find this opponent of ours an obliging drunkard.
I won't be sacrificed, though, Holmes. I refuse to abandon you.
I'm not suggesting that you abandon me, Russell. Only that you appear to do so.
What do you mean?
See if you can guess from the chessboard.
Miss Dunleavy would approve. Very well. Let the battle commence.
It was a long game. He tried to trap my queen, but I refused to be maneuvered. And eventually, he seemed to change his tactics and laid a triangle of pincers to force me into. I avoided it and sent my remaining rook down to place him in check. He evaded it. I brought up my queen in support. And then somehow, in the excitement of closing in, I overlooked the board in front of me. And the pawn that had been weak man in the first long-forgotten pincers movement was in my second rank. And then it was before me. Newly born.
A queen.
Holmes. She'd never fall for it.
She will, you know, if the distraction is believable enough. You and I must part spectacularly. She will swoop in to pick me off, and then we have her. It is good. Really, very good.
What if she sees what we're doing and just decides to wipe us both out?
What if? What if? I can hardly spend the rest of my life dripping over bodyguards, can I? Besides, I have a feel for my opponent now. She will expect me to continue dodging and parrying with my customary subtlety and skill. Instead, I shall foolishly lower my guard. She will be suspicious, then gradually convinced of my madness, then gloating before she strikes. But you, Russell, you will be waiting for her all the time, and you will strike first.
Holmes, I haven't the experience in this game, as you insist on calling it. Any mistake on my part could be fatal.
For nearly 4 years, I have shaped you and tempered you and honed you. And I know your mettle.
You trust me to save your life?
It will mean separation. We will work on the case for a while, then stage an argument, then lose contact completely. And then, when she strikes, you will strike too. Well?
When faced with the unthinkable, one chooses the merely impossible. And then a miracle happened. Holmes reached out his long arms to me. And like a frightened child, I went inside them and he held me, awkwardly at first, and then more easily until my trembling faded. But when I turned in, the prospect of losing Holmes made for uneasy sleep.
Mary? Wake up.
I'm sorry to disturb you, Holmes. It was nothing, a dream I sometimes get.
That much I deduced. Would it help to tell me?
My brother was a genius. Reading by three, complex geometry by five. His potential was huge. He was 9 when he died, 5 years younger than I, and I killed him. We were taking a last family weekend at our cabin in the woods, but I was being difficult, as my mother put it. Well, the road is bad there, a drop of a couple of 100 feet. We were just coming up to a blind corner when I started screaming at my brother. My father turned round at the wheel to tell us to shut up. There was another car coming round the corner going very fast. And it hit us. Our car spun around. I was thrown out. And the last I saw was the outline of my brother's head through the back window as the car went over the side.
And your family?
There was nothing left of them. Any of them. They scraped together enough pieces for the funeral.
I see.
I went crazy for a while, having to be restrained from throwing myself off things. I finally came across a very good psychiatrist. She told me that the only way I could make up for it was not to kill myself, but to make myself worth something. In effect, though she didn't say it so simply, to be my brother's stand-in. It was an effective piece of therapy, in a way. I no longer tried to jump from high places. But the dream started that same week.
How often does it come?
Not often now. I haven't had it since we were in Wales. I thought it was finally gone. It appears not. I've never told anyone about it ever.
Russell, I
wonder if you're going to reassure me that it wasn't my fault and say that I mustn't feel guilty about it, Holmes, I'd rather you left, because that really would finish us off. Truly it would.
No, Russell, of course you killed them. It was not murder or even manslaughter, but you were certainly guilty of provoking a fatal accident. That will remain on your hands. I was merely going to say that I hope you realize that guilt is a poor foundation for a life without other motivations beside it.
Thank you, Holmes.
Yes?
Good night, Holmes.
Good night.
My guilt had been admitted. For the very first time, I closed my eyes and I wept.
Good Good morning, Holmes.
Russell, excellent. Good morning. Come and look at these photographs of Billy's cab. Look closely at the slashes on the seat there.
Is there a pattern? Are they Roman numerals?
They could be.
Hand me that pencil and pad, would you, Holmes? Read them out. I'll write them down.
XV, XV11, XX11, X11, XX11, XX1V, XXX1.
Adds up to 145 if they make up 25 separate numbers. Of course, they could say 15, 17, 22, 12 and so forth.
And what would that come to?
There won't be much difference because of the nature of Roman numerals, but it comes to, let's see, 143.
Interesting. And the number between them is 144, doesn't.
And the two sums added together make 228, which is the number of dollars my father had in his desk when he died. Holmes, these numbers games could go on forever. There are just too many variables. Without a key... Do you really think by separating we'll fool her?
The question is, for how long will her wariness last before she thinks it is perhaps not a trap, that we truly are divided and that the trauma of it has made me an empty wreck? Mere extermination is not what she wants, apparently. She wants to ruin me first. Very well, we'll give her that and wait for her to move.
He is, Jenny. The great Mr. Sherlock Holmes, saviour of nations, the mind of the century, God's gift to humanity. Gentlemen, I leave you to him.
Let her go, Watson. She'll have none of us. She's off to make her mark in the world, can't you see? And God help any man who gets in her way.
Thus began our act of alienation. Two friends now turned against each other. The father and daughter alienated. The near lovers become the bitterest and most implacable of enemies. Back at Oxford, I threw myself furiously into my studies. Miss Dunleavy was still away, an illness of some kind, and I was secretly grateful not to have that pressure. By dint of working flat out for 3 weeks, I managed to redeem myself in the eyes of my remaining tutors. Holmes himself, on his farm in the South Downs, was retreating from the world into bewilderment, staying in his bed and rambling about selling his hives. Meanwhile, it was agony to hear nothing from him. Then, in early March, I received a telegram. It said simply, "Are you coming down between terms? Stop. Mrs. Hudson would like to see you. Stop. Holmes."
Hello, Russell.
Hello, Holmes. I brought you and Mrs. Hudson a few things from Oxford.
That was nice of you. Mrs. Hudson is preparing tea. Let me close the curtains. Headaches, you know.
Holmes.
Hello, Russell. We have perhaps 5 minutes without it looking odd.
You're watched, I take it.
Every move. Even in the sitting room. They've made some arrangement with the neighbours. Telescopes in the trees. They may even be able to read lips. I assume you are being watched.
I only saw them 2 weeks ago. Two men and a woman. Very good, too. 5 cars followed me down here. The lady has money.
We knew that. Are you all right, Russell? You've lost 5 stone since January.
Only £6, not 7. And I sleep as you do. I'm busy... Holmes, I wish this were over. No, don't come near me. I couldn't bear it. I'm fine when I'm in Oxford. But don't ask me to come down again until the end, please.
Yes, yes. I understand. Back to Oxford with you. It may be a long time till we are able to speak freely. I will say goodbye. And we will meet when the bait comes into our trap.
Sorry, Miss Russell, the library's closing now.
Already? Heavens, Mr. Douglas, I've no idea. I'll be with you in a minute.
No rush, miss.
Thank you. XV, XV11, XX11, X11. This code is impenetrable. Unless, of course, we use a different base to 10. Say 8. That would give us M. Oh, my God.
Where are you going, Miss Russell?
Holmes. I have to go. I have to pack. I have to get to him.
Miss Russell?
When Holmes hears this, he'll...
I'll do what?
Tell your father. I mean... Holmes?
I'm sorry to arrive unannounced and in disguise, Russell. It's a good thing there isn't another bomb here. There wouldn't be much left of you.
Oh, God, Holmes, it is good to see you. It is a code. Roman numerals in base 8, not base 10. It spells Moriarty. And do you know who had me working on base 8 3 days before the bombs were set?
I do remember, yes. Your math tutor.
Miss Dunleavy.
And where is she now?
Supposedly sick, but she withdrew my watches today while I was in the library. She may have guessed what I was doing, or she may have just decided to go ahead. But the telephone lines to your village are down, so I was coming to warn you.
Now that she has discovered, she will try to finish me off. We must get back there before she does. Come through, Russell.
Really, Holmes, you are a most exasperating partner at times. You still haven't told me your plan of campaign.
Oh, very well. Last night there were too many people coming around my cottage to allow your Miss Dunleavy to make her move. But today my medical friend will announce that I am recovering and in need of peace and quiet. Mrs. Hudson will take herself to bed early at her end of the cottage, and we shall lie in wait through here, in the study.
Good evening,
Miss Dunleavy.
Mr. Holmes, no bon mot. I perceive you have been in Afghanistan or New York. Sit down, both of you. Move very carefully. I am an expert shot. You will please leave your hands on top of the table at all times, both of you. Good. Mr. Holmes, we meet at last. I have been looking forward to this meeting for quite some time.
25 years or more, isn't it, Miss Dunleavy? Or do you prefer to be addressed by your father's name? The one you carved into the seat of our cab in code. Miss Moriarty.
You did tell me what a very superior sort of mind your friend has, Miss Russell. What a pity he was born trapped inside a man's body.
I cannot agree, Miss Dunleavy. Mr. Holmes's mind and his body seem to me well suited to each other.
Miss Russell, sharp as always.
Kindly refrain from baiting the child, Miss Dunleavy, and continue. I believe you have something you wish to say to me.
You are right, Mr. Holmes. I have not much time. My absence from the college was no sham. There is a crab with its claws in my belly, and no way to remove it. Before much longer, I will not have the strength to deal with you. Therefore, you may begin.
Begin? I have no questions, Miss Dunleavy, concerning this case.
No questions?
It has been very interesting, even challenging, but it is now over, and all the significant data have been correlated.
Indeed. Perhaps you might be so good as to explain.
Very well. Russell, 28 years ago, I, not to mince words, killed Professor James Moriarty, your math tutor's father. His wife and young daughter left for New York, never to be seen again, or so I had thought.
I believe that I shall call you Sherlock. An awkward name, that. What was your father thinking? Nonetheless, since we have had such an intimate relationship, you will address me, please, by my Christian name.
Madam, I can hardly think that...
You ought to think very carefully, Sherlock, before you choose.
Miss Dunleavy, I...
Ah!
Russell, are you...
I'm all right, Holmes. It's just my arm. It's just a flesh wound.
She is fine, my dear Sherlock. And I suggest that you sit quietly, or soon she will not be fine at all. What was it you were about to tell me? I am waiting, Sherlock.
Patricia.
That's better. We need to work on the intonation, but that will come. Do you realize that you have been my hobby since I was 18? There is little I do not know about you, Sherlock. I know about why Mrs. Hudson's son emigrated to Australia, about you and the Adler woman after my father's death,
about the scar on your backside and how you came to have it. I even have the rather fetching picture of you emerging from the steam rooms of the Turkish bathhouse on... That reached you, didn't it? I even bought the farm up the hill from you several years ago. Through an employee, of course, so I might look down upon you, even through your bedroom window, and then, oh, the delicious irony of it. Your Miss Russell came to me for tutoring. I could not have asked for a more perfect gift.
I'm sorry, Holmes.
Hush, Russell.
It was truly delicious. Then last summer, an important American senator placed himself in a remote area, so we borrowed his daughter. As you know, we were not entirely successful, but imagine my pleasure when I realized that you, too, were on the same job, albeit from the other end. It was almost worth the failure, having that piquant extra, a chance to meet, as it were, to work together. From that fiasco came my plan. Which brings us to the present, Sherlock. Now, Miss Russell, do you see the envelope on the shelf to your right? The top one. Stand up and get it, please. Slowly now, remember. Take it back to the table and place it in front of Sherlock. Sit. This document is your suicide note, Sherlock. Read it to him, Russell. One must never sign any document until you've read it.
It looks too long-winded for my style. Skim it, Russell.
It begins by stating that Sherlock Holmes, being in his right mind, can simply no longer see any point in staying alive. My rejection of him and the ensuing depression it caused was so vehemently denied, etc., etc., etc. Then there are 17 cases in all, presented with microscopic attention, pointing out in each one where the credit for its solution lay in reality. Finally comes the murder of Moriarty, an innocent professor who had stolen the young woman Holmes desired.
You have a definite flair for fiction writing, but surely you cannot believe I might sign the thing.
If you do not, I shall shoot Miss Russell, and then I shall shoot you, and one of my employees will forge your signature to it. It will appear to be a murder-suicide, and will take Miss Russell's name down with yours.
And if I do sign it?
If you do sign it, I shall allow you to give yourself one final injection, and Miss Russell will be taken away and released. She has no proof, you see, none at all, and I shall be far away.
You would give me your word that no further harm would come to Miss Russell?
Holmes, no! You have my word. My word is my honor.
I believe you, Patricia. Why? I don't know, but I do. Ah, I'm afraid my pen is dry, Patricia. There is a bottle of ink in the cupboard above the sink.
Miss Russell, you get the ink.
Do it, Russell. Your tutrix appears to have us in a position of checkmate. You know, of course, that your father also committed suicide.
What?
Suicide? Oh, yes. He knew he was no match for me physically, yet he did not bring a gun. Odd, don't you think? It was suicide, Patricia, quite clearly.
Liar!
You say you have come to know me, Patricia Dunleavy. I know you, too, madam. I know you for your father's daughter. Your father had a superb mind, as do you, and created a network of horror and depravity that exceeded anything these islands had ever seen before. And all the time, ha, the perverted, filthy genius of it, all the time the good professor sat in his book-lined study and kept his delicate hands clean of it, buying his wife pretty dresses and played mathematical games with his little daughter in the drawing-room, until I came along, I, Sherlock Holmes, with my meddlesome ways. I carved the network into many small pieces, and I turned the name of Moriarty into a term of derision so that even his daughter will not carry it openly.
Ah! Damn you! Your time has come to die!
No!
Hey!
Then came the dream without end. My brother's rumpled hair framed by the car window. Patricia Dunleavy, gaunt and sick, lying in the spreading lake of incredibly red blood. A beaker of liquid copper sulfate smashed, bilious green and dripping from the workbench above me. Cold and fever burned me, and I lay consumed by a universe of shivering nightmares.
Mary? Mary?
Holmes?
Yes, Russell?
Holmes, I'm glad you're alive.
Mary, oh, you had us worried for a while, but you're going to be fine now.
Dunleavy, is she... dead?
Oh, yes, very.
Oh, when you leapt to save Holmes, the bullet passed through the back of your neck, missing the spinal column by, well, enough. It did go through your collarbone and nick various blood vessels before leaving the front of your shoulder and continuing on to lodge finally in Miss Dunleavy's heart. The surgeons have pieced together your clavicle, though there is still considerable damage to the muscles in that area. And where on earth did you pick up all that old scar tissue?
Watson,
No, Holmes, it's all right. Oh. It was an accident some years ago, Uncle John. Ask Holmes to tell you the story. I think I'll sleep now for a while, if you don't mind.
Oh, righto, righto.
Before you do sleep, Russell.
Yes?
I need to go to France and Italy for 6 weeks. I shall come back before your term begins. Would you care to come with me?
Yes. I believe I shall take up smoking a pipe, Holmes, for the sheer eloquence of the thing.
Let me know when you're ready for a game of chess, Russell. I'll even spot a piece for you.
But not a queen?
No, no, never again. You're far too good a player for that.
We'll start equal, then.
I shall beat you if we do.
I don't think so, Holmes. I really don't think you will.
In The Beekeeper's Apprentice, Mary Russell was played by Monica Dolan, Sherlock Holmes by James Fox, and Dunleavy by Sean Thomas. Lestrade was played by Gavin Muir, and Watson by Sean Prendergast. All other parts were played by members of the company. The Beekeeper's Apprentice was written by Laurie King, dramatized by Sean Prendergast, and directed by Melanie Harris.